do you have a headset?
I do.
Could you try it?
Well, every time I put it in, like it, it's always on mute. So
that's what she said.
Well, that last
started out right.
It started out good. I was gonna say it, but then the whole mute thing fucked up the joke.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 1, but I'm working on it. I'm not going to be as foolish as many Saints fans probably were as they left the Dome yesterday, but I will at least say this with confidence. We are not as terrible as we started this season. Halfway through the season and what? Oh, wait, Drew Brees just threw another touchdown pass. Halfway through the season, and no matter what happens, we should all be thankful that we are not the same team that we were 5 weeks ago, or we'd be in serious need of therapy. And Drew Brees just threw another touchdown pass. So, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, enjoy the show. Adam, welcome to the show. What's your name and what's your number?
Well, my name's Adam. My number, since I've gotten really drunk Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, my number has carried over to today. And is a 2.6.
All right. What are you drinking?
Hello, wine.
Wine, good. For all of our new listeners who don't know, haven't heard, Adam is one of the original founding fathers of the Dome Patrol podcast. He was in Damon's spot on the weekly until, I don't even remember how long ago it was, but...
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, but Adam comes on periodically, especially when there's big games to celebrate. So welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Thanks.
Perfect fill-in because Jason's in Disney World, fucking around with Mickey Mouse, so we don't know if he's going to be able to join us or not. But Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
0.
What are you drinking?
High C Red Pop.
High C Red Pop. All right. Well.
The fuck is that?
Red High C, I guess, right?
Yeah.
All right, so one thing, Damon, what we will get for you is Swamp Pop, which is a soda company in Lafayette, said they're going to send us some samples. And they were saying, we were thinking Damon can just say how many plain Swamp Pops he has drank.
Oh, that'd be good.
You could just drink Swamp Pops during the show. So you got it started with the High C Red Pop, but next week it'll be Swamp Pop. All right, let's get into game recap. Let's see. The Saints won 52-49. Drew Brees threw for 7 touchdowns. Eli Manning threw for 6 touchdowns. In a game with so many touchdowns, Sean Payton joked that yet it was the kicker who got the game ball. So
that was a pretty good kick.
Yeah.
Under the pressure like that, that was a good kick.
So, Damon, we'll skip ahead to the end. How was the crowd's reaction and the walk out of the dome?
The crowd's reaction was just pandemonium. I mean, it hasn't been like that since the NFC Championship game where, you know, we had another walk-off field goal for a win. Especially the way the game went, all of our fans, listeners, I'm assuming, have watched it, where the Saints really had control of that game most of the time. And then when we had that silly interception that was returned, I mean, you kind of just let the whole air out of the stadium.
So, Damon, would you say there were pockets of Giants fans?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
All
Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number? Welcome from Disney.
I am going to go with just a one. Getting ready to make myself another drink. Had a couple beers at dinner. Had a long dinner. Been doing a lot of walking the last few days, so been walking off the beer bus quickly, but I'm going to go with a one. Simple as that.
Good. All right, so tell us about your Giants.
There were more than pockets. It was, you know, really those bandwagon fans that, you know, got tickets after Katrina who don't show up and support the team must have sold all their tickets to Giants fans, because you could hear them with their chants of let's go Giants, and even defense, you know, when we were on offense. So it was annoying.
Speaking of annoying, I was also around a giant pocket of Giants fans. Luckily, since we're down here, the game doesn't start until 1 o'clock. So we went to one of the theme parks in the morning and then went over to Orlando Ale House to watch the game. It was kind of nice. We walked in and the hostess said, okay, which game do you want to see? We told her which game. She looked at her sheet and she said, okay, this way.
Did she not look at your fucking shirt? Right?
Well, good point.
You should have been like Jacksonville.
She'd have been like, I'm sorry, we're not showing that game.
Right. So we walked over and there was a big, it's kind of like booths.
And it's Civil War memorabilia. It was in a boot.
I'm sorry, what do you mean a foot?
It's an actual foot from a soldier that was given to him in the 60s, the 1960s.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's unusual. There was...
Pardon me?
I said, I've never even heard of something like that.
So Renee and I got sat at a table. There were two other Saints fans there, but there was an entire section of just all Giants fans. Mm. All Giants fans. Probably a good 20 to 30 Giants. Like 16 tables full of Giants fans.
We're like, oh, we're Giants fans.
Oh, dude, every time they scored, they did some weird Giants chant, apparently. I mean, it was crazy because, obviously, like Damon said, the Saints were in control of the game, and I'm feeling good, you know. I score, I do my loud clapping, and I'm like the only person in there. Giants come back and scored, all the place erupts. There were two Saints fans there for the first half, then they left at halftime, and then two other Saints fans came in and sat behind
us. They tagged out. They tapped out.
Remember, the first and only reality of the Sith. There can only be two. And you are no longer my apprentice.
All right, so let's go into the game then. I mean, a lot of touchdowns spread around. Passing, of course. Yet, before we get into the passing game, Ingram, 80 yards again. I got to say, Ingram is, like, running really well this year.
He's breaking more tackles, and he's getting more yards after contact than he's had in the past. I mean, I think he did pretty well last year with all of that, but people were still kind of hard on him. The year before that, it was really bad.
Yeah, you're right. Because last year he finished, like, almost 1,000 yards, right? Wasn't even like,
I think it was, like, 900-something yards last year.
And we were like, nah, I don't know about him.
14 million? You got it.
Let him have it.
With no problem.
Then C.J. Spiller gets a little bit more action. He got 6 touches.
It's more than 3?
It's less than 8.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, we open up 3-and-out, punted, as is, of course, tradition.
Oh, and then Cooks was nice and wide open, too, on that third down play.
See, that's
Breeze just out. I mean, if I don't know, if either Cooks is sped up a little bit or Breeze just drops it a little, I guess, less. He only overthrew him by like a yard or two. No, he was gone I think he was gone. I mean, it would have been tough to catch him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's similar. There was a play just like it a week or two ago where it was just right through his outstretched hands. Like, he just couldn't – just missed it.
I kind of thought, being in the stadium, that it was more that Cooks misjudged it than Drew overthrew him. Because he wasn't running full steam for the catch. So, and Drew had to put it where there was no chance for an interception. I mean, you have to – or like that. So, yeah, it was a missed opportunity.
All right, then the Giants drive down and they score. And at that point, I'm a little nervous. Somebody's making a drink.
You heard right.
Yeah, I heard that. But the and now pay attention though, because that first Giants touchdown where Odell Beckham fulfilled the NFL's narrative that he was one of the greatest receivers in the history of the NFL already on the pick play, right? And then the Giants' second touchdown was the exact same play.
That's hard to stop, man. Like, you almost have to, as a defender, run into. You have to try to initiate the contact and then sell it that you didn't. It's about the only way you can stop that play.
Kind of what happened, like, at the end of the Super Bowl last year. It was a similar play. Pick play on the goal line.
Well, as long as it's not Browner initiating contact, you might get away with it. I mean, now, there's so much to talk about in this game. A lot of the problems in this game stemmed from Browner.
All right, so let's get into it then.
His penalties and other – dude, Browner is garbage. Browner is so terrible. Even when he's even if he's not holding, they're going to call a flag on him anyway just because he holds every other play anyway.
But if he goes to Seattle, he doesn't get those calls.
Well, isn't that the problem, that he was trained to play like this in Seattle? And, yeah, like I think we said on an earlier show, for the last couple of years – everybody got away with that kind of stuff. But Seattle came out and announced it. Was it last year or the year before that? We're going to do pass interference. We're going to hold on every play because these motherfuckers aren't going to call it.
No, did he come from Seattle or he came from New England?
Well, Seattle to New England to us.
To us, okay.
Yeah, he won the last two Super Bowls. He's got two rings.
And three flags.
He's got more than three flags.
This game. I mean, he really, like... He might have half of our team's defensive penalties this whole season. I mean, and he is so bad.
We gave up a lot of first downs on penalties.
I mean, and the big one on the
without the penalties. I mean, is this a blowout?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Giants might score 30 points tops without penalties.
Yeah, they had 7 first downs. By penalty.
Yeah.
Penalties? How many first
like
downs total?
28 first downs to the Saints 35.
And 7 of them were because of penalties?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. They were 1 of 8 on third down, 2 and 2 on fourth down. Saints were 7 for 11 on third down. I mean, that's without penalty. That's 63%. Yeah. I mean, that's where you want to be.
It's easy for people to point and say, oh, the defense took a step back, but did they really? I mean, could you just really put it all on penalties? I mean, the defense played well enough. Penalty.
You can't put it all on penalties. I mean, there wasn't a lot of defense played by either team.
Either team.
I mean, when you put up 103 points, I mean, Eli isn't any bum. So
I like that stat though, the 1 for 8 on third down, and then
right.
Yeah.
That's a good. That's at least something good to take out of. 49-point game.
Yeah. And would we get 2 sacks?
We have more than that, huh?
No, Edebali had at least
I thought we had 3. We had 3 sacks.
Let's see. Edebali had 1. Humber had 1.
Oh, and then that sack fumble got negated by a penalty, you know. Boom. I mean, that was a huge –
that's the turning point of the game exactly. That's the point where we're up by 14. If that play stands – I'm pretty comfortable in saying we go down there and score again because they didn't
that's
stop.
That's what we did.
You know, we go up by 21 points, and it's just they don't get close after that. So did y'all actually see the holding call?
I saw the replay. I mean, it was a little ticky-tacky.
I can't remember it. Who was it on?
Yeah. On Brown. Oh,
bro.
No.
Bro.
Bro. I'm just saying,
it's natural instinct, Browner.
It was on Browner. I think it's just because we had thrown so many flags against Browner. Like, if it's close, it's a flag.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, Peyton talked about it in his press conference. As many years that we've been listening and watching him, he doesn't comment on the officiating very often. I mean, none of them do because they get fined. But he was ticked off about that penalty. In his press conference, I think you can quote, he said, you know, you can't miss a call. You can't miss a call like that at such an important play. And he said that he set his piece on the field. So, you know, I'm guessing he gave the officials a near full on the call. And later on in the press conference, he said something like, you can't make a call on something that never happened. his views on it are pretty made pretty clear. It was a ticky-tacky call. It was too important a play to make that kind of decision. You know, that kind of call. It was bullshit. And look, another thing, the Saints threw the ball 50 times. And how many?
That's a lot.
That's a lot. How many Giants defensive penalties did they have on our 50 passing plays?
Not many.
Take a guess.
You know?
Seven.
Yeah. Zero.
Wait, what?
Zero. The Giants' defensive backfield had zero penalties called on them. No holding, no passing.
And he still gave up 52 points.
Right.
So, you know. But that's because on the 39 completions, no Giants were anywhere near our receivers. I mean,
yeah, that's kind of aggravating to have 51 pass attempts and no calls.
None whatsoever. That's a weird stat. It really is. And Jeff, you talk about being wide open. Look, that play to Colston.
Marcus Colston, right?
Right. I mean, and if you watch right before the play, I'm not sure if you can see it on TV, but you know they stacked the wide receivers. And what happened, just both of the defensive backs obviously went after. I'm not sure who they stacked him.
Both went left.
Right. They both went with one receiver, Marcus Colston just in the middle of the field by himself.
And hey, the fact that he didn't drop that ball is big. I mean, I was like, thank you. Finally, old man.
I was going to
balls all day.
I kept saying, oh, look at old man Colston beating the Giants. Next to all these fans trying to, like, oh, even old man Colston's beating him today.
8 catches, 114 yards, and that one was a 53-yarder touchdown. He, I think, had, what, one drop maybe? Like a classic Colston.
The only classic, Saints move that I felt on Sunday was the Sean Payton in a critical situation running a classic reverse. You know, but that's always worked out so well for us. Like, you know,
I thought
Ted Hill against New England and Reggie Bush against Tampa back in, I think, 2008 or, you know. God damn it. God damn it. Would you stop running the fucking reverse, Sean? Would you just stop it? I know you love it.
I thought you meant the two catches that C.J. Spiller had were both on a reverse behind Zach Strief. I mean, not a reverse, a screen behind you, Zach Strief. I guess now's as good a time as any to talk about Kyrie Robinson's injury.
I happened to be in the car at the moment when that was happening and listening to it on the radio, and Hoki Gaijon was almost – it almost sounded like he was going to throw up. But he was just like they kept, I guess, maybe showing it on TV or on, like, whatever, and he's like, I just can't look at it. I can't look at it. Like, I got to look away. I don't like when I'm watching people get hurt. And
I didn't find that it was that –
gruesome.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It wasn't like, was it Jabari Greer?
Right. Oh.
His leg.
I still have not watched the Jabari Greer injury.
Really? You should.
I don't want to.
If you like the movie Saw, you'll love Jabari Greer's injury.
I'm going to go watch it right now.
No, I mean, you know, just like, he fell on, he twisted his ankle. I mean, you didn't think it was that big of a deal, huh?
He kept trying to explain it as like he thought that he tore his Achilles the way that he was like laying on his belly and not moving, just knowing that something was hurt, and then he come out with he compound fractured his leg,
his tibula.
Was it a compound fracture?
That's what I heard in the office today.
Oh Jesus! I mean it's breaking the skin. I mean, fuck that.
I didn't see any bone come out of skin.
Yeah, again, I was in the stadium. You obviously couldn't see anything. I DVR'd the game and rewatched it. I couldn't see it. What I got most impressed about is all the Saints players on the field came over to him. You could see after they walked over to him and checked on him as he's laying on his belly. The linemen, I mean, they were. You know, they were walking away, yanking their helmets off, making, you know, they were visibly upset that he was, you know, for their teammate, that he was injured or whatever. So that, and then they had commented on.
Oh, shit. I remember that. Oh, shit.
Did you just watch the Jabari?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Why would you do that?
For the reaction, for the live reaction.
And by the way, the official report is that it's a tibia fracture. So compound, maybe the office water cooler got a little bit overhyped.
Did you hear Kyrie Robinson's heart fell out of his chest yesterday?
Oh, have you not heard?
Huh. That's odd. I thought that would be big news.
You thought what would be big news?
Well, there seems to be an absence of a certain ornithological piece. A headline regarding mass awareness of a certain avian variety.
What are you talking about?
Oh, have you not heard? It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Heard what?
Brian, don't!
Damon, I think you're spot on, because to me that was also a big telling moment about this team and about what we're dealing with here. And then if you talk, they talk to CJ Spiller and Stephon Anthony today on the conference call, and they asked him about that as well, like, and Sean Payton even, like, what is that, you know, the significance of that? Because, you know, players get hurt all the time, but, like, this seemed special. And CJ, I think it was, had said, you know, that reaction is, he didn't use this word, but I'm going to say, a manifestation of the culture that Sean Payton and Drew Brees are recreating in this locker room that we didn't have. You know, we talked about this. They didn't have that, and they spent this offseason bringing back the right kind of guys. Instead of a team full of characters, a team of character.
Have you trademarked that?
Hey.
You seem to say that a lot.
Well, because it's true, and it works. And that's right there. I mean, this is the right kind of guys. It's also the reason why you start 1-3, and you're now 4-4. Because last year's team wouldn't have been able to dig themselves out of 1-3. They couldn't. They didn't. So these guys are digging themselves out. They're getting marginally better each game because it's the right kind of guys. And I feel like if Jimmy Graham was in that locker room, you know, everybody wants to talk about Jimmy Graham every fucking week. I'll talk about Jimmy Graham. If Jimmy Graham was in this locker room, that didn't happen.
Well, I mean, I understand your sentiment. I'm not going to blame the whole thing on Jimmy Graham. I agree with you, but I'm not going to say
that. I'm intentionally saying something inflammatory about
you. You know, that Jimmy Graham would just sit there telling him to go fuck themselves. I mean,
right. Yeah, fucking get him off the field. I have a touchdown to catch.
Right, but the sentiment of your narrative is correct. I mean, this team is more of a team than it was, and Jimmy Graham does seem to be a little bit more of an individual. And we've talked about that ad nauseum over the last however many months.
Breeze, so throw it out there. So Breeze record book, watch. 7 touchdowns, ties a single game NFL record. He's now, what is it, 6 other guys?
Correct.
Or so. Ironically, they asked him before the game, you know, it's Halloween, and they asked him, like, if you were to dress up as any NFL quarterback for Halloween, who would it be? And he actually said Y.A. Tittle, and he talked about how, you know, he's, you know, this picture of Y.A. Tittle about have just after a game one day, he's just covered in mud and just gritty and just, you know, yeah, really showing that. And Y.A. Tittle is actually one of the guys that Breeze is now tied with for the 7 touchdowns in a season.
That's a very classic photo of Y.A. Tittle, where he's on his knees and covered in blood and mud and all that. But it's funny that you, Breeze, would mention that, because he wasn't touched a Sunday. You know, he wasn't.
He was pristine.
Yes, he was clean, and which is another nice thing to bring out of the game.
Mm-hmm. He was full of rubber pellets.
There's also
rubber pellets on his socks.
Total touchdowns thrown in a single game. This also tied the Saints Cardinals from 1969, which is also an NFL record. Also, 101 total points scored. 113 is the record. It's the Washington Redskins versus the New York Giants in 1966.
Who won that game? I'm wondering if the Giants lost both of the high-scoring games. That would be-
And yes, the Redskins outscore the Giants 72-41.
What?
That's still not the most. Actually tied for third. Second place is 106 points between the Bengals and the Browns. And we're tied for third with the Raiders and the Oilers from 1963. 101, and then, yes, the Saints-Giants in 2015, 101. So, yeah, the Giants are two out of the top three or four.
Just it was great to see the offense do that again. You know, put up – I mean, they hadn't scored 40 this season at all, right?
No. Correct, no.
They hadn't scored 35, I don't think.
And, of course, it's the game I choose not to go to. But right. It was fun to just watch them just boop, 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 whatever we wanted to do. And that's these games against the Giants in the Dome are always high scoring.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing that obviously was unsettling for me during the whole game, and I don't like games like this where it's an offensive game, no defense is being played. And I get nervous when we're on offense because I know just one silly, stupid mistake and you lose the game. And of course, we had that silly, stupid, you know, nobody's fault. I mean, you can't blame Breeze. You can't blame Sneed.
That was a crazy play.
It was just a crazy play. That wasn't anybody's fault. I mean,
He got popped.
Right. I mean, you can't blame anybody. You can't look down on anyone for making a mistake. They didn't make a mistake.
But what here, it's funny you looked at it that way, because I, in a similar way, I looked at it like, if you assume we're going to score on at least halfway through the game, you were assuming that we're going to score on at least every drive minus maybe one. So all we need is to stop them on two drives. And we had already stopped them once or twice, you know, because we were up by so much. And so it was almost like I had that confidence throughout because I was like, we've proven that we can stop them if we don't get the penalties in, and that they cannot stop us. So as long as we just netted up on successful drives by one, we were good. Yeah, that one made you nervous, but it was also, you know, the defense is going to come through because they've played complimentary football the last couple of weeks.
Aside from Browner.
Yeah, he's the opposite of complimentary football.
But it was you know, the whole
football.
And like the whole game, I'm you know, obviously feeling confident. We're ahead by, you know, two scores at least for the majority of the game, and then it gets closer and those Giants fans started cheering and then they tied it, and then it's like, all right, well, we're fine, we'll score and whatever. And then that play happened and the Giants section erupted. I'm just like, come on, just don't, you know, being up and really not being worried about the outcome of the game for so long, and then to be down at the end, you're just like, what the fuck just happened? So we tie the game, and there's like, I don't know, what, 30-something seconds left?
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Thinking, okay, well, the Giants, maybe they run out the clock, and they
right,
you know, attempted to score, which as they should have, because, I mean, we weren't stopping them either.
Right.
But just to have them...
To go that three and out, right. No, Jason's absolutely right. There are 30 seconds left when the Giants get the ball, and to even have, I mean, you know, so, right, to stop them in under 30 seconds, you know, right. I mean, that's not how I saw the game ending. With 5 seconds left, I did not think he was going to
run it back. So was there an actual, I can't remember, was there an actual play other than the punt? So they punted to us, and then we got the ball, and it was the penalty on the punt, and then we just kicked it, right?
And then that's it, yep.
Right. Yep, there were 5 seconds left.
That's a crazy ending. Like, that's a really good, I'd see that happening to us, not for us.
Right.
Right.
Especially, too, with Murphy.
Tom Murphy!
Fumbling the ball, and then, thank God, Sneed picked it up.
Right. Now, so what's this rule? Within under 2 minutes, you cannot fumble forward and advance the ball?
What?
Correct.
What is that? Why?
Because of the Holy Roller back in the 70s with the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders were playing, I think it was a playoff game, maybe not. I know they were playing the Chargers. And basically, they fumbled the ball forward about 12 yards. And were
was
able
it kicked, or was it just
well,
like,
no,
people
it,
trying
it,
to get it, and it kept going forward?
Well,
or
they
was it just forward?
Yeah. I mean, they kept pushing it forward. I mean,
on purpose?
You know, yeah, you know.
Oh, I didn't get it. I didn't get it.
Well, correct, right, because they'd have been tackled. The game's over, so they get it, and, you know, someone's on their back, so they fumble it, you know.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it wasn't the most obvious of things, but it was like the NFL overreacts to fucking everything. You know, we have how many, you know, we have the Brady rule. We have the Brady rule. We have the Brett Favre rule, you know, so This is
the Holy Roller rule. So right. It basically to prevent a team from, quote, cheating and, like, accident. Oh, I fumbled it forward for better field placement. Or,
oh, I fell over. Right. Oh, I fell over again.
Right. I mean, like, I'm reading this now. During the play, the game officials ruled that the actions were legal because it was impossible to determine if they intentionally added the ball forward.
Right. Okay.
Ruled,
good.
Which would have been ruled a penalty. So to take that intention out, basically you just can't do it under the. Right.
So he fumbles and Snead gets it. Let's say if Snead would have not been tackled and scored,
it'd come back. You can't.
Yeah, you can't advance it.
What do you understand about you cannot advance the ball?
But well, because I thought you just said that they deemed that it wasn't intentional.
That's why under two minutes, that's why you can't do it, because to take that guesswork out. And obviously that.
Okay,
play,
this is another obviously stupid that fucking rule. It's just stupid.
Right. Obviously, the Saints play were, if you look, you know, with pretty reasonable, you know, that he didn't fumble the ball on purpose. He didn't throw it to Snead. Yeah. He, you know, I mean, it was knocked out of his hand and landed in Snead's hand.
Yeah, thank God. Right.
You know, but that's the way the rule is. So.
Right, but it's a stupid fucking rule, even if it wasn't. I mean. I can see, like, kind of like, what was the rule we were debating over a couple weeks ago where you were just like, just don't make it a penalty. Just make it a non-play. Where in this case, it's like, just if it's intentional, make it a penalty. If not, let them play.
Well, but again, that's what the rule is there for, to take that guesswork out.
I mean, in today's society.
Unless
where
you're
have
a San Diego Chargers fan back in the 70s.
Well, and in the 70s, they didn't have instant replay. But they didn't have instant replay like they do now, and they can overanalyze this.
Oh, I see what you did.
There you go. Which brings us to our next segment, overanalyze these headlines.
Well, wait, I guess we still need to talk about the final field goal, right?
The kick, huh? Well,
yeah.
Well, we did. We opened with the kick.
No, we stopped you.
No, we opened with that. Okay, I mean, okay, talk about the kick. Okay, what do you got to say about the kick?
Well, here's this. Okay, so not that we had all the confidence in Forbath, but if that was Hocker attempting that kick, I think we all would have assumed, well, he's going to miss it.
Oh, he would have missed it. There's no assumption. It would have been too short, first of all, and wide. It would have been short and wide.
So just, you know, well, like once the kick went up and you can tell, like, well, all right, well, that's it. Boom. Thank you. We love you, Kai Forbath. Peyton actually made a decent hire on a kicker for at least 1 week.
For a week.
You know who else would have missed it?
Me.
Kyrie Robinson.
What?
Well, Kyrie Robinson would have missed it, too.
Yeah.
He definitely would have missed
it. He's not a kicker.
And he's got a broken leg.
Right. At least it's not a compound fracture.
He would have kicked it with his left leg.
Not a compound fracture. Well, good hold by Luke Wilson. I mean, Luke Wilson.
Hey, now, come on. Oh, wait, that was my Owen Wilson.
Yeah. Jeez, we're all over the place. All right. Well,
but tell you, being in the stadium, again, with all the Giants fans, and I said earlier, you know, they started there. Let's go Giants and defense, you know.
Let's go
chant.
Home, Giants.
So, you know, those are always annoying games. You don't want to lose that game and have to walk out with those assholes.
Yeah.
So, to just that kick, I mean, everybody, again, in the Dome, the Saints fans at least were, you know, you know, just
and even me.
Please make this kick. Please make this kick.
Mm-hmm. And to be able to walk out of, like, you know, once he made the kick, you know, clapped really loud, turned around to the Saints fans, high fived, who dat, and just to not hear the Giants section cheer for a win for them,
right.
made my day.
Right. You have to know that they were crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, make me feel better.
And actually, I have Neil had a similar experience as you, Jason, in England with a room full of Giants fans, which I'll read when we get to look at him tweets.
Okay.
But for now, let's go into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And we got really one quick headline. It's all the Kyrie Robinson story. Obviously, he's out for the season. Underwent surgery tonight, or last night after the game. And the Saints have already signed Tim Hightower, as predicted by Dome Patrol Podcast.com.
There's
how did y'all predict it?
In text, I can only.
I was
assume.
Like, you didn't talk about it last week.
We predicted that Kyrie Robinson would break his leg in a 52-49 victory, and that,
I tweeted it during the game. It was like, well, Sam Hightower will be on the team by Tuesday.
Is it at all surprising that there's no Pierre Thomas?
Yeah, and look, we made the joke about. You know, bringing out Pierre Thomas, and a lot of people, you know, were wondering who they were going to bring. But Hightower made the most sense. I mean, Hightower was on the team, off the team, on the team, off the team. He's most familiar, most prepared. That's the guy you got to bring in.
He's younger, with more potential, I guess.
Less mileage.
Right. I mean, obviously, the sentimental favorite is PT.
Yeah.
But can he run a screen like that?
Nobody can run a screen like PT.
Man.
Yeah, but they got C.J. Spiller.
And out of our 51 throws, 30 of them are screened. So, I mean, we need to have a screen guy.
I mean, every third down. So, yeah. Hightower made the most sense for the Saints. And Sean Payton even commented. He was like, Hightower's the kind of guy that we wanted all along kind of deal. Which is an interesting way of putting things. But, hey. I think Kyrie was putting on the scene. It's sad to see somebody who put that much work into, you know, playing.
Well, I mean, plus two with him, I mean, he was an undrafted guy, never been able to make a ton of money. He was going to be a free agent after the year. And now, I mean, this is just throws.
Looks like he'll be a Saint next year.
Yeah, for a cheap one-year deal. I mean, it's great for us. Sucks for Kyrie.
Yeah, it's terrible. All right, let's move on to NFL. No, we won't do that. Let's do Look At Him tweets. all right, so let me read quickly Neil's series of events that matches yours, Jason. So he DM'd us, actually, on Twitter, because it was a longer story. I'm going to paraphrase here. All right. Found a massive casino / club. So, by the way, Neil went to the – what game was yesterday in England?
Kansas City.
Yeah. And said that they left at halftime.
Well, I mean, Kansas City was blowing them out.
Right. So they left and – found a massive casino club that shows every NFL game. It was terrific. Sat on my own, surrounded by Giants fans. I made so much noise at the end. Wow, what a game. Really looking forward to the show. Could be gold standard this week. Oh, he said, the screen next to ours was showing the Falcons lose, and their fans in England didn't take my laughter and pointing too well.
Well, you know what's weird is that's a typical game that Atlanta just, like, comes back and wins some cheap-ass victory, and at the same time, Tampa Bay, like, just loses.
Right. Well, they did. Look, they were up 20 to 3.
Well, they tried to make it happen.
The fourth quarter, and they came back. At one point, the game was 20-3, and they showed the score in the Superdome, and the Superdome crowd just went wild with laughter and glee.
All right, so other than that, so there was another thing. Neil's got a friend in England. His name is Ricky Williams, believe it or not. And Ricky Williams is a Giants fan, so they were watching the game together. And Ricky claimed that the only reason the Saints won is because the refs helped the Saints out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I promise.
51 pass attempts and no penalties on New York. Yeah, good call, Ricky.
I promised that you guys would respond to that comment.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a made-up story because I don't believe Neil has any friends, but that's just me.
Why would you turn on Neil?
Not turn on Neil, that he's listening to us all the time. I mean, I think we're his closest friends, and we're not Giants fans. So,
They were halfway around the world.
And then a name like Ricky Williams, like you can't even, I'm just saying it sounds suspicious.
He had a picture.
He could at least said.
Oh, was his friend in a Giants jersey?
Yeah.
Was it? Okay, then I take it back then. He had a picture.
Although he did also report that he was in a room full of Giants fans.
So it could have been a random person.
He has a brother-in-law named Cooper Manning, who is a Giants fan and really likes Eli.
And has a soft spot for the Broncos. No, but yeah, actually, Ricky tweeted to us as well. And actually, Ricky was the one who said, I actually think the refs felt sorry for you guys and gave you the game.
Well, that's just that's almost as stupid as an Atlanta fan, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing is as stupid as an Atlanta fan.
They probably felt sorry for us for how many calls they blew.
Maybe that's what he meant.
There was a makeup call there one time during the game. I forget what it was, but there was one makeup call that I swear to God we got. You know, where they unfairly penalized us and then came back the next play and gave us a makeup call. Yeah.
All right, so Planet Hudat at IceMain23, he wanted us to at least mention the Saints Twitter account yesterday because it was the Saints' birthday, November 1st, All Saints Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
49 years old. That their Twitter account had balloons all over it. Which IceMain, you know, you're like hardcore on Twitter all the time, and then your big tweet is about birthday balloons on a Twitter account. You got to step it up, man. Come on, guy. Come on, guy.
we're just going after everybody on Twitter today. We're like a bunch of trolls. I'm trying to say.
Tweet us, and we will insult you. That's our thing. All right.
I was just good naturedly joking about Neil.
Right now, I'm telling our people that their look at him tweets are not good enough. All right, Glenn.
Maybe that's what we should do. That's what kind of like what Colin Cowherd does, and look how big he is.
Well, we're not copycats. So our next tweet comes from Glenn. You fucking idiot.
Next.
All right, no, Glenn comes in with Jimmy who? Ben Watson has more yards and touchdowns, same amount of catches. And he even posted the deal here. And I think, Adam, you wanted to bring that up earlier, right?
So you think it's the tight ends or you think it's the quarterback play?
Oh, I think it's the quarterback play.
Right.
Obviously.
Like,
I think it's the relationship.
I just think it's Drew in the offense. Like, I mean, look what Jimmy's doing now. Nothing. And then Watson comes in. And if it wasn't Ben Watson, I think, the next – whoever the next dude is, it's going to do the same thing.
Championship. Right.
I mean, and look, and let's not forget, out of Jimmy Graham's 450 yards, 140 of them came against Harper. Okay, let's not forget that. I mean, that's not a surprise to me. That Carolina would let Harper cover anybody is more of a surprise. But 140 of his yards came against Roman Harper.
Something else to point out is the last time the Saints had kind of an old vet tight end playing this well, we won a Super Bowl.
We did.
Correct.
Yeah.
We also started that season 13-0.
Well, then this time we're going to finish it 13-0.
Oh. Is that possible?
Nope.
Because
if you count the playoffs?
Hey.
I'm counting the playoffs, baby.
I don't want to finish with 13 then.
Then, yeah, you're right. Let's go a little further than that. All right. So the other next tweet comes from – okay, let me read this one from Glenn as well. What's the over-under on how many beignets Trent Richardson ate while in town working out for the Saints? Anyway. That's,
13.
Know, there you go. All right. So then our next one comes from Swamp Pop.
That's right. Hey, I'm in Disney World, bitch.
Ooh, that's right.
No one cares. And you're riding the teacups and Dumbo's magic ride, okay?
No, Damon, I don't fit.
That's a shame.
Let me talk a little bit about Swamp Pop. Swamp Pop is a beverage company coming out of Lafayette, and they're big fans of the show. So we tweeted a little bit. They're going to ship us some samples of their beverages. And I told them, I said, we'll likely mix them with alcohol.
because that's what we do. And then they replied
there's no likely.
We will. And they replied with, sure thing, they make great mixers. We went back and forth a little bit more, talked a little bit. Turns out that Swamp Pop is also known as, and longtime listeners who enjoy the Look at Him Tweets segment will recognize the name Viva La Waffle. Swamp Pop is also Viva La Waffle. Viva La Waffle is a food truck in Lafayette. And they also
Viva La Waffle is Swamp Pop.
That's
Swamp
right. Pop
is Viva La Waffle.
What the? That's it. That's it. Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is a man.
So, and they also have a po' boy restaurant in Lafayette as well. So, long story short, Swamp Pop, Viva La Waffle, all of them are a great, fun part of the show, and we may have our first official sponsor of the Dome Patrol podcast.
Well, what I say we have to do, since Lafayette's kind of almost in the middle between both of all of us, is Jason and I, and Adam, if you want to come, drive up to Lafayette and go eat at their restaurant and
podcast from the restaurant.
And Jeff, you come down, yeah.
Hey, that's a great idea. They want to know how many Swamp Pops Damon has drank, since he doesn't drink alcohol for the show.
So this is Damon's sponsor.
So it's almost like Damon. It's kind of like when Buddy D used to do, oh, today was a four-box Rubio game.
Right, exactly.
Damon can be like, oh, I'm drinking a five Swamp Pops after this game.
You know what? That you know
so
that
what is it? Is it kind of like
soda. It's a soda?
It's a
like,
soda.
Well, I know, but do they do like a Coke, a Dr. Pepper, a Sprite, a root beer?
Oh, they're Swamp Pop. They're not.
They do.
Is it a cream soda?
Hold on. Shut up, Jeff. I'm trying to talk to Adam.
Can I finish? Hello? Can I finish? Can I finish? Please, can I finish? Okay, I'm finished.
They have a Ponchatoula Pop Rouge, which is a strawberry, looks like
cream soda.
Yeah, and they have a Noble Cane Cola for a balmy Louisiana summer night, signify the arrival of plump Louisiana figs and the need for an ice-cold beverage. Noble Cane Cola combines the flavor of this beloved Louisiana, and then I have to click another link. So
it sounds like you got your sponsorship advertising.
You got it, right? Come on, Pop. Yeah. Tell you what, when you send us the drinks, then we'll taste them, and we'll also be able to tell people which alcohol goes best with which flavor drink. So maybe you put a little Crown Maple in the Ponchatoula. Nah, it would be disgusting, but...
Well, we could find one.
But maybe the Crown Maple with the fig.
Right. There's six flavors to choose from, and like I said, and I think you made... Right, we'll do just like Buddy D did. This, you know, I forget what was he judging?
It was how stressful the game was. The more beer he had to drink. So yesterday's game, or maybe because we were celebrating, it was a big game. Yesterday was a five barks game. It's like stars, right? It's
a seven barks game.
It was a seven Swamp Pop game.
Seven Swamp Pop.
Yeah.
It was probably an eight Swamp Pop game because he threw eight touchdowns.
Seven touchdowns.
He threw eight.
No, he threw.
He threw eight.
If you count the defensive one, it was kind of like he threw eight.
Yeah.
I don't think that was a fumble. I think that was definitely a pick.
No, it was. They changed it today. The NFL changed it today to an interception.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. So he.
Well, no, then he had two.
Yes.
Let's move on to NFL reach around. And our first topic there is going to be, or subtopic, is Le'Veon Bell and Reggie Bush were both carted off the field yesterday. So was Kyrie Robinson. Bad day for running backs in the NFL yesterday, apparently.
Right. And Steve Smith.
I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah, Steve Smith Sr. Tore his Achilles.
So he's done.
Right. Funny you didn't hear about it, because if you go back and check your text, I texted you about that a couple hours ago. But
I don't read everything you write.
I don't send you everything I say.
That's good. I mean, that would be a lot of texts if you did. So, all right. So, but running backs alone getting carted off.
look, one of the things I always say, and I'm surprised people don't get hit more. I mean, hurt more. I mean,
I'm surprised we haven't seen somebody die.
It is insane, the violence of this game. And again, that's what this game meant to be. I'm not saying that we should stop it. I mean, that's what these players, these tough guys.
I mean, not death.
What?
Not death.
I said these tough players.
I know, but I'm saying it's not meant to be death. Like, I mean, I'm not.
That's why
No doubt. But but no one. Well, but the
it's getting there. I mean, it's happened in high school. It's happened in college.
What, people dying on the field all the
time?
It's going to happen in the pros, and it's going to be on national television.
Well, it's
going
to take that to do something about it. And
well, again,
they're going to come up with another stupid penalty. I mean, well, that stupid rule.
You nope. Can't kill somebody on the fucking field.
Oh, fuck it, you know.
That's another personal foul, 15 yards. I mean,
You're ejected. Take that.
Okay, so our next headline is Shitlanta loses to Tampa Bay.
It's so much fun watching it. Shitlanta explode. Shitlanta is not a good team. Your IQ has to be lower than a 20 to be an Atlanta fan. Because they're on their messing. They're talking about the Super Bowl. I mean, they speak as if their team has ever done anything. Matty Shitpants is better known for shitting his pants than winning games. He had a single playoff win in his entire career. He has shit his pants the equal amount of time that they've won playoff games.
Rafi bomb!
What's up? What are you doing, Rafi?
Oh, God, since I left you guys, I was tracking the bear most of the night. Didn't get him, but I did find a big, fresh pile of shit that I thought I'd second harvest because it was full of Hershey Kisses. Spoiler alert, they weren't Hershey Kisses. It was just more shit. I ate it all anyway, got sick to my tummy, puked, pooped, jerked off, and now I'm here with you bros. What have you guys been up to?
Okay, those two things are equal. So they just, I mean, just fucking delusional idiots. Again, there's no way an Atlanta fan listened to us, but...
Well, and two, I mean, look, we knew they weren't great. They've been getting, you know, how many games at the beginning of this season were they down and found some miracle way to come back and get a win?
Right.
We knew they weren't that good.
All the time.
Right. Well, look, and the thing is, and Jason, like, if I was Atlanta fans, first of all, I'd be sitting in my own shit and urine. You know? But... if I was an Atlanta fan, I know I can't get a thought across if I was one of them. But anyway, that look, during the 2009 season, I mean, how proud are we when we came back against Miami and Washington? You know, we came back. Championship teams have to do that. But also, championship teams dominate games. And Atlanta has not dominated any game. They have lucked out and won, but they have not dominated. They are fraud. I predict that before the season ends, we will surpass the Shitlanta Falcons.
Yeah, we're only two games behind them.
A game and a half, technically. So we play those bastards at the last game of the season.
Do we?
Yes, very last game. That might be a very that game actually might
be playoff implications.
Playoff implications. I mean, that how nice would that be to beat their ass?
We got to get over the.
There's tons of football to play. You're right, but I'm.
Yeah,
just,
no.
But
in this situation before. We're, one year we started off 0-4, won the next four, and then we shit the bed after that.
Right.
And then I think there was one time we 2-5, got back to 5-5, and then I lost the next three or something like that. So I mean we've been in the position before where we've battled back to get to 500. Now we got two.
And most teams that start that bad. This happens to you know, like they don't make the playoffs. I mean, what is it like? Only like very few teams start even 0-2.
Well, I think it's so draining to get back to that 500, and like once you get there, it's kind of like I guess exciting, and I guess you let your guard down on that next week, and that's what we gotta not do.
All right, next headline: San Francisco trades Vernon Davis to Denver.
Dude, you say Denver's defense is fucking great.
Oh, fuck. Yes, you are correct.
Wow, he really cares about that statistic.
I mean, dude, held Aaron Rodgers to 77 yards passing. I mean, apparently nobody's impressed.
That's pretty legit.
I mean, we can all acknowledge Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league right now. I mean, I guess you could say Brady, maybe.
I don't know, maybe not. Yes,
I don't know, 506 yards, 7 touchdowns says something different.
Oh, well, yeah.
Motherfucker.
All right.
Take that shit, bring it to the teacups.
Go enjoy your teacup, Jay.
Couldn't you just say monorail sounds so much better than
Well, sir, there's nothing on earth like a genuine, bona fide, electrified six-car monorail. What I say?
Monorail.
What's it called?
Monorail.
That's right, monorail.
Monorail.
I hear those things.
All right, let's move to Pick'ems.
It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. We make it. I will deliver the pain, you can't take it. I'm in control.
Among the three of us, Jeff and Damon are in the lead, tied for first, 23-17. Jason, second place with 22-18. You're only one game behind because Jason went 5-0 this week.
Oh, what?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you didn't know?
Neither did you.
However, we're not winning in the extended version. Hungry Hoodat actually first place with 26 wins. And then the 23s come in, which is Jeff, Damon, Alex Barbie, Dad to Twins. And then 22 wins is Glenn and Wheels and Jason. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Jason. I counted you in 23s. You're not that good.
Yet.
And so that's your big leaders. Neil, again, you're going to have to send us your record because as of right now, you're only 11 wins. You got to tell us what you are and we'll vote for it. Jason,
you didn't know he won the last 15 in a row.
Right. He could do that and we don't know. Jason, go ahead.
First game, the Green Bay Packers against the Carolina Panthers. Green Bay coming off a loss to Denver. Their offense really getting shut down. Carolina is currently in overtime, down 3 with 12 minutes to go against the Colts.
I'll take Green Bay.
This game is in Carolina, and Green Bay is favored by 2.
I'll take Green Bay also.
It's also an emotional pick.
Can't disagree with that.
I'm going to try to go 0-5, so I'm going to take Carolina.
There you go.
Now I'll go Green Bay.
All right, next game.
I had a little more luster on it at the beginning of the season. Now not quite as much, although tonight's game could ease that a little bit. The undefeated Denver Broncos coming off a dominant performance against Green Bay at the Indianapolis Lux. The Colts are currently up by 3 points in overtime. We'll see what happens there. This game is in Indianapolis, and the Colts are getting 4 at home. I'll go first. I'm going Denver.
I think Denver showed a lot of dominance.
I'm gonna take Indianapolis,
which means I'm taking Denver. Damon, I'm assuming you took Denver. You were in the middle of explaining your pick when Adam interrupted you with
I'm sorry. Did you see the catch or the not catch?
Yeah, the not catch.
Yeah. Oh, they pulled a Colston.
All right, let's move along. We got an AFC tilt here. Really intriguing matchup. The Oakland Raiders coming off a win this past week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, coming off Ben Roethlisberger being back, although they did lose to Cincinnati this week. Roethlisberger's back. This game's in Pittsburgh, and the Steelers are favored by 5.
Oh, but this is one of those.
Give me Oakland and 5.
You know what? I'm with you, Adam.
Oh,
Adam,
my
you're
goodness.
Really throwing me off here with your trying to lose.
I'm going to take Oakland also.
West Coast team traveling east. Isn't that supposed to be the difficult one? I'll go with Pittsburgh and Roethlisberger. They played very well against a very good Cincinnati team.
And undefeated.
Yeah, so I'll take Pittsburgh and the 5.
This one I'm going to have to consult with the net points. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
All right, next game. The St. Louis Rams coming off a win against the 49ers this week at the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota coming off a win against the Bears. This game is in Minnesota. The Vikings are favored by 2.5.
I'm gonna take Minnesota.
Did you guys realize Minnesota's 5-2?
Yes. No, Minnesota has a halfway decent team, and so does St. Louis with a very good running back.
Yeah, two really good defenses, and Todd Gurley looks legit.
Yeah, but like Minnesota's quietly 5-2. No one's talking about them.
Because who the fuck cares about Minnesota?
You might need to start because they're 5-2.
Well, call me when they beat the Packers.
Well, I'm going to call you when they beat the Rams this weekend by 3 points. I'm taking Minnesota.
Yeah, I like Minnesota at home.
I'm taking the Rams.
And Adam, you took the Rams?
No, I took Minnesota.
Oh, damn.
Mm-hmm, that's right. I'm catching you fuckers.
We'll see about that.
All right. And now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go.
Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a
So this week's shitty game is an intriguing conundrum. For the last handful of weeks, I've commented on there weren't enough good games to pick. This week, I couldn't find a shitty game.
No.
It really took me a while to find a shitty game for the week.
Atlanta and who?
Adam, you're right. Atlanta at San Francisco.
Oh!
Both teams.
Fuck.
I'm taking San Francisco.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam, I thought you were trying to lose.
I am.
San Francisco.
Atlanta.
Training Vernon Davis, losing Reggie Bush to a torn ACL. Atlanta coming off their loss, of course. San Francisco is at home and is getting 4.5 points. I'm also going to take the San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm not taking Atlanta. And actually, home dog is a good bet.
Yeah, I'm taking Atlanta, San Francisco as well.
Yeah, no one's taking Atlanta. Come on.
Right. This is going to be a San Francisco across the board for everybody who plays. All right, that takes care of that, and now we're moving on into Saints Preview. All right, Saints are playing. Who are we playing, Tennessee?
Tennessee. Now, Matt Mettenberger played the last 2 weeks for Tennessee. I think Mariota is supposed to be back this week. I mean, I don't know his status for sure. Obviously, I'd rather go against Mettenberger than Mariota.
I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't mind playing a rookie quarterback.
Well, Mettenberger's close to a rookie.
I don't think we fare very well against running quarterbacks other than Michael Vick.
Yeah, I don't think
so. I mean, Winston got to us.
Cam Newton got to us.
Newton gets to us.
But I mean, like, Tennessee's bad. I mean, there's no reason the Saints should not win.
But if they do get a running quarterback, then that might be less calls Browner might get.
I don't know if y'all mentioned, but this is going to be a big thing going forward. Damian Swan got another concussion in the game Sunday. That's his second concussion of the year already. So he may not play again this season. Which means we're going to have to play more Browner. Debbie Browner, that's...
I mean, look, Tennessee is a 1-6 team coming into the Superdome. After the performance we just put on New York, which I believe is a better team, at least offensively, that we put on, the offensive performance we put on, I believe... I'm not going to say we run over them, but my God, I mean, shouldn't we win by double digits? Shouldn't it be a fun game that we can enjoy and relax?
My only fear is that we're the kind of team that plays up or down emotionally to the game and what's at stake. I mean, you look at that Philadelphia game. We should have beat Philadelphia, but there wasn't an emotional reason to get up for the game, and they came in flat. They played flat. But the games that we won were the games that were big games. It was the night game against Dallas. It was the Atlanta game. I mean, just Atlanta alone, but add on to the fact that it's Thursday night at home. Then it's the
Indianapolis.
The Colts.
The Colts.
the Colts. I mean, that's your Super Bowl bitch right there.
But just, I mean, like Adam said earlier, you know, the fight to get back to 4-4, we have to keep that same sense of urgency and can't think like, okay, you know, we're back in it. Let's, and you know, not that they are going to do that, but just come out focused and try to limit the penalties a little bit. I mean, play smart, non-sloppy football.
Well, thank you, Captain Obvious.
Somebody had to say it.
No. Look, I think what we talked about earlier, being the different locker room than we had last year, will help us into not playing down to our opponent. Glad we have him in the dome, one of our few back-to-back homestands.
Tennessee comes in with the 31st ranked offense in the league, and the Saints have the second ranked offense in the league.
But how it's a good thing our offense has to go against each other every game, right?
Yeah, because the Tennessee defense is actually ranked 5th in the league.
Ooh.
And ours is 30th.
Ooh.
In the league. Now, I'm sure it's 30th because of this week.
No, we were not great the rest of the year.
Yeah, but y'all, when you let up 6 touchdowns and 400-something yards, you probably drop in the rankings.
A little bit, but we've all, our defense has been a good third. I mean, we kept it up this week, too, but we have been a good third down conversion. I mean, not, like, whatever.
Yeah,
not giving up third downs for first downs.
Yeah. Bend but don't break, right?
Correct.
And
if we keep that up, I mean, that's going to win you some games. Win you 4 of them, at least.
How is it that their defense is ranked 5th, but they're 1-6? I mean, is...
Because their offense is shit.
It's that shitty? I mean,
it's 31.
There's no way we lose this game. There's no way we lose this game. So score predictions, Jason, you start.
Well, before we get to score predictions, I mean, there's a lot of injury issues on the defense. I mean, Ellerby didn't play at all this week. We re-signed Jolon Dunbar, and then he got hurt. You know,
he was a big impact in the game too.
Like Michael Motti was playing significant snaps at linebacker on defense, and I mean, look, he's a great special teams player. I mean, him playing linebacker is going to be good for this defense.
You don't believe in him? I think you just said he played well.
Starting defensive linebacker? No, I'm sorry, I don't.
You just said he played well in the game. What's wrong with him? You don't believe him? You don't believe in your local talent?
He plays good special teams. I do not trust him as if he's playing significant snaps on defense.
He recovered a touchdown on the blocked punt.
Special teams.
I don't like your attitude, sir.
Okay, good. What are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Exactly. Score predictions. I like Maudie.
Guess not. Never get him on the show, apparently.
Do it.
I bet he drinks Swamp Pop.
Right. So, I mean, I'll go with 31-17.
All right, Damon, what do you got?
I'll say 38 with no missed field goals or extra points to 21.
All right, Adam?
24-6.
Ooh.
Yeah, I like that more. I think that's more right.
Intriguing.
Fuck.
Adam's along that same line. I was gonna go 25-0.
25-0.
Yeah, I don't think they score. I'm pitching a shutout. I'm calling it.
And we get 25? We're
getting a safety.
There's some missed kicks in there.
I don't know, man. Our kicker might be decent.
He made a kick at the end of a game. All right, calm down. Because Garrett Hartley did the same thing and then shat all over the bed for the next 2 years.
Yeah, but he had some good kicks before that, before shitting the bed.
All right, fine. 24-0.
Just stick with your 25. We're getting a safety, man.
I'll take the safety. Their offense is 31st in the NFL. All we need is to pin them back on the one on a punt.
That's it. We got that.
All right. That's going to be all of it. We're going to skip final thoughts this week again for the interest of time. We're going to thank Adam for joining us for this celebrational episode about this game. That is the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Mickey Donkey.
Ha! Fags!
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
was the agreement.